Tiger. This podcast contains language and explicit themes. Meow meow, it's me, Sophia. Welcome back to another episode of the pod. Hope you had a nice Easter, bunny. Happy season of the bull, Taurus season. That's me. I'm a Taurus, and what a sexy, down-to-earth, loyal, luscious sign we are. Beloved by all. Yeah, it's my birthday month. I thought I was turning 47, which made me muse about 50. But then I remembered I'm actually turning 46, which means mid-40s still. Next year we can say late 40s, pushing 50. It also reminded me of this very thing happening to my mother around this age, thinking she was turning older than she was. I suspect it's perimenopause. When I thought of 50, it cracked me up. I feel like a girl, and yet I'm so fucking exhausted. Oh my God. Shout out to all the mid-40s people raising young children. Don't know how the fuck you have the energy for that. Some days I can't even assemble myself into like a full upright position, let alone ferry kids to and from baseball and the like. Like, I'm in good shape. I have a nice, steady, active lifestyle. I'm not running any 5Ks. I'm not running anywhere. Don't like running, but I walk up a hill almost every day. I teach yoga, do Pilates, and yet every morning I wake up and feel like a brittle old bag of bones that needs endless tending to. It's truly exhausting. If you know, you know. But time still feels like it's on my side. The bell curve hasn't started its downward turn just yet, but I feel it coming. I'm right at the top of that curve, I reckon. Equal parts effort and ease. But soon it will be more effort, just as youth is more ease. We'll cross that bridge of no return someday, but not today, Satan. Overall, I have to say I'm very satisfied with life, very happy insofar as one can maintain an ephemeral thing such as a mood. Yesterday, I returned a record that I bought the day before. I returned John Prine, Sweet Revenge. I mean, great album, just not really what I was in the mood for. Not something that I feel like I need to add to my permanent collection. I exchanged it for the new Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco album, and I did so without an iota of shame or apology. That's what being in middle age has truly delivered, an unabashed selfhood. Not giving a flying fuck that the also middle-aged man behind the counter at the record store wasn't even hiding his disgust. Like, I give a fuck. Maybe when I was younger, I might have giggled nervously, self-depreciated or whatever. Self-depreciated. I mean, so I like self-depreciated. I still would have exchanged the record in my young years, but I would have been embarrassed, even though I knew that I shouldn't be. Now, I actually relish these transactions. It's an opportunity to show out in a whole new way, a true coming of age. Love that. And I just love letting people think whatever they think, you know? There's no point in correcting people if they've already assumed something. I don't need anybody to know of the multitudes I contain if they're not interested. It's not necessary. If you know, you know. If you don't, you don't. And this Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco album, I'm giving it like 4.5 stars. Yay. So happy Taurus season to everyone. We're back with another installment of Yoga Ethics for Modern Living.
Oh my God, we're back again.
And we're also back from outer space. You know who I'm talking about. If only they'd stayed out there. I find it curious how Katy Perry started a journey to irrelevance with the release of her last album, everyone hated across the board. And then she finished the journey out to pasture with this Blue Origin trip to nowhere. I can't imagine anyone asking her a question going forward that doesn't pertain in some way to her ludicrous turn as a space cadet. And Gail took umbrage with the people calling her out for being an idiot.
My question is, have y'all been to space? Have you been to space?
No, motherfucker, we got bills and shit.
On Earth, have you been translates to, have you ever spent several million dollars on yourself? Have you? Have you? No, Gail, we haven't and we won't. We're being harangued by these billionaire Babylonian drongos, but at least it's unifying. We all hate Katy Perry and Lauren and Freakazoid Bezos. It's nice to come together as a society, isn't it? Hopefully we can really do something with this collective disdain. Now would be the time to rally against the tyranny of it all. Just saying. Anyway, let's get off this lost highway and into today's topic. I took a little break from the rigors of spiritual reporting last week to bring you at that last episode on survivor's guilt because I've been having it since the fires in LA and yeah, something happened last week that is going to force me to confront my trauma after pulling what I thought was a very crafty geographic move, fleeing the charred remains of Altadena for an all-new life in the Mojave High Desert. The idea of going back to my old neighborhood was too dark to deal with, and yet karma has intervened. That's right, much as I want to leave the ashes to ashes and dust to dust, placed all in a jewel box of memories, turns out the universe has other plans. My very close friend who lost her home in the Eaton Fire just purchased a new home on my old street. Being that she is now my crash pad when I come through LA, I will be confronting my trauma on the regular, though from a much more glamorous vantage point, east of Lake. My old place was on the same street, but west of Lake Avenue, the dividing line drawn right up the center of Pasadena and Altadena representing the red line. Rich white people got to buy up property on the east side, black families on the west. The types of homes are very different. All the area was charming and lovely, but this summer I will be ensconced by the pool of a Spanish revival craftsman mashup. I am both delighted and horrified. I was thinking, kind of planning on never returning to the area, just like make it a dream in my mind. It seems like a dream. Seven summers, floating in a pool in the hills of Altadena, watching chemtrails over the country club, wearing our jewelry with our bathing suits, worrying about the fires in Maui, the war in Ukraine, ever-shifting sands of US politics. Yeah. It could have been a dream, but God, or my friend at least, has other plans, and it's probably for the best. Ooh, to confront the truth, to prevail in the truth, to stay in the truth until it purifies me. Which is exactly what today's pod is all about. Just taking a little puff of my vape. This particular strain, what is this? Z Snacks or Znacks from Flavor Aid. Not sponsoring the pod or anything. I'm just really into Flavor Aid. If you're in California and you like to smoke your weed via a vape pen, check out Flavor Aid at your local marijuana retailer. We're up to the third niyama. The third internal ethic of the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, and that is tapas, not the delicious Spanish bite-sized cuisine, but the Sanskrit tapas. Tapas is all about the element of fire, which is another reason I pushed this episode until I just had to confront it. I haven't so much as lit a candle since the fires happened. In fact, I bought a candle warmer. If you are a scented candle girl or boy, if you're a scented candle, they them, I highly recommend investing in a candle warmer. It's like a little lamp that you put your scented candles underneath, and the throw is really good. Anyway, I digress. Back to tapas. Here's what Google AI says about tapas. In yoga, tapas is one of the five niyamas or observances that guide the practice of yoga. It emphasizes the importance of discipline, dedication, and effort in cultivating inner strength and spiritual growth. In a heat, the word tapas is derived from the root verb tap, meaning to burn or to heat. Tapas is not just about physical austerities, it also involves mental and emotional discipline. Blah, 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 path towards self-realization, liberation, yada, yada, helps to purify mind and body, cultivate inner strength and resilience. So, you know, just another flavor on this path. Same as pretty much everything else, but another lens, another sphere, another silo of the yoga practice. As someone who's just flared a fire, this topic is hot. So I want to start with a little incantation in the form of a poem. David Lynch's movie Fire Walk With Me. It's been my favorite movie since it came out in 1992 when I was 13. It's an exploration of the liminal space between two worlds, the Black Lodge and the White Lodge, which represented binary good and evil. And yeah, this movie is wild, easily the scariest movie I've ever seen to this day. Man, the 90s, where were the parents? Well, they were busy. They were pleased when we took ourselves off to any movie. So here's the poem.
Through the darkness of future past, the magician longs to see. One chance out between two worlds. Fire. Walk with me.
Spooky. I know. So the magician is us. We long to see beyond our scope of reference. A magician can harness the power of fire, stop it from destroying everything, direct and guide its elemental power. Fire is the first technology, and we have evolved alongside it. Before fire, we ate scraps left behind by bigger predators. Fire extended our safe hours. It allowed us to cook food. And we also stared into the flames of the fire. And the way that fire moves in all different ways, this made our brains develop new neural pathways. So, yeah, elemental in every way, part of our Homo sapien evolution. And it's about where we direct our attention. How can we truly do magical things, like harness the power of fire? It's about where we direct our attention. I used to live in Australia, a place that has a lot of wildfires, and they do controlled backburning. The fire department does it, but it's been around for centuries. It's like a cultural, traditional burning. Indigenous Australians, they would intentionally set small controlled fires to manage the vegetation, reduce the risk of large destructive wildfires. It's been used for thousands of years, and it prevents bushfires from, you know, being really devastating. Backburning. It's like addressing issues out loud, like therapy. I'm talking like spiritual, emotional, backburning, tapas. We're living in the age of therapy and like diagnostic TikTok. So these days, most of us know that if we don't address the past, our present will suffer. Life's better when you deal with old messes. Just like Backburning clears up dry, flammable old debris, so it doesn't threaten the safety of the people living nearby. Tapas is the fire of actualization. This niyama is about a transformation. It's lots of movement. No more talking about things or just like ideating and daydreaming. There is a place for that. But at some point in life, you have to do. You have to act to actualize and step into the fullness of life, or just like step into your life at all. It's a reminder, always timely to be reminded, to not roll around in the past. And it's a reminder that the most powerful place we can be is in our bodies right now. Fire is fucking serious. You can't bullshit your way out of a fire. Life will level you if you try to bullshit. It'll level you anyway. So why make it harder by sitting on the fence and deluding yourself with procrastination? Instead of taking scary feelings away, which is like what we're trying to do when we procrastinate and don't take action, we're trying to make things more comfortable, but we're just making things way more scary until you've created a nightmare inside of a greater nightmare, you know? There's a verse in the Upanishads that says, we are like the spider, we weave our life and then we move along in it. We are like the dreamer who dreams and then lives in the dream. David Lynch really liked that one too. He put it in a scene of Twin Peaks The Return, which I'll play for you now.
And then she said the ancient phrase,
we're like the dreamer, dreams, and then lives inside a dream.
We are like the dreamer who dreams, and then lives inside the dream. I told her I understood. And then she said, but who is the dreamer?
Who is the dreamer? You are. Who is the magician? You are. Every archetype of the tarot, every book of the Bible, every black hole, every macrocosm exists inside of you, the microcosm. And I think that once we get this, we unlock responsible free will. It's one thing to write it into the constitution, but it's quite another to take responsibility for it. This niyama is very much about taking responsibility for our lives. Oh my gosh, you guys, if you like this show, you should join me over on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/thisbodypodcast and join up for Extra Body. You'll get early access to episodes, 2 bonus episodes a month, random drops here and there, and access to old seasons. Babes, if you enjoy this podcast, be sure to rate, share, and subscribe. You can listen on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music, and you can find me at Sophia Forever, the pods on IG too. Thanks, Tiger. So if you dislike authority, or you have oppositional defiance, or you're stubborn like the bull, you'll get annoyed at this point in the journey, because tapas is all about discipline. 99% of people who do yoga on the mat are not practicing yoga off the mat in the world. The exercises are designed to change you, and the exercises might make you feel like you're a better person, because exercise and stretching does move energy out of the body and the mind, and that results in the ability, frees up the space to be nicer to other people, and therefore, like, you're a better person, yeah. But it's not the same thing as following a yogic path. There's, like, a fecundity to the physical experience that we can mediate with physical yoga. Like I said, the practice is designed to change you. The feeling of getting high off an hour of hot yoga or a breathwork session or an ecstatic dance class, it's not the same thing. The foundation of yoga is discernment. That should be the primary practice on the mat and off the mat. And if you remember a while ago, Brahmacharya in the Yamas section of this podcast series, Brahmacharya is like practicing celibacy. This is the first tricky point for most aspiring yogis, is interpreting and adhering to that particular teaching. That's where the rubber hits the road, even just to wrestle with it conceptually. And it's the same thing here with tapas. It's very hard. It's very confronting, but ultimately I think preferable to sleepwalking through this one wild and precious, if you know what I mean. I feel like my two cats are about to have an argument. They're jostling for space at the window and it's bunny hour, so quite possibly they're looking at bunnies making love in the yard. I want to deviate from the path for a moment here to address something I think might come up for a lot of us regarding pain. You know, the idea that there is clean pain and dirty pain. Some pain, like that really sharp pain of grief, for example, that kind of pain is sort of clean because there's no escaping it. It's compulsory. It's compulsory to die. It's natural pain. It's compulsory to grieve, though, you know, we all approach that differently. But at the end of the day, it's kind of an accessible process. Some things just have to be accepted. They have binaries. They have a start point, an end point, a result, a cause. As humans, our lives are filled with complexities. We've surely come a long way since harnessing the power of fire and gazing into the flames and building these neural pathways. I mean, thinking about that just feels so relaxing at this point, doesn't it? Take me back. No, do not. Definitely not. Okay, so where was I? Yes, so our lives are filled with complexities, modernity. We have less natural complexities arise and more weird complexities arise as a result of evolving technologies, starting with harnessing fire, going all the way up to social media. And inside of that experience, we often find ourselves grappling with dirty pain, stuff like codependency and struggle love and trying to understand other people against the backdrop of civilization. We can like twist ourselves up and we can get really messed up by dirty pain, by staying in toxic fire while it burns, like chemical fires, nuclear fires, dirty pain, enmeshment, codependency, addictions. Those fires will not purify a person, and we need to be able to differentiate between the two. That's where the earlier niyamas come in, purity, shausha, contentment, santosha. Having those behind us helps to like shore us up, because first you work on developing clarity and then we walk with the flames.
Fire, walk with me.
The challenge to stay in the struggle in 2025 is further complicated by the fact that any second of nothingness must immediately be filled by something. Reaching for the phone. We live in a world of devices. We have like numbing built into our daily lives. I fear that daily numbing sets us up for a world of pain when the fires come. All I can say really is to practice discomfort and think of it like weight bearing at the gym. Stay with it, grow stronger, don't run from pain. Our job is to be like a constant gardener. Our body's the home for now. And the fire of transformation can be used to burn away old patterns. Why do we love precious gems so much? Humans have always adorned their soft bodies with these brilliant hard gems. I think it's interesting because our bodies are so soft and vulnerable, and a diamond is the complete opposite. I guess we're attracted to our opposites. The way these stones are formed, like under intense pressure for a long, long time, goes from coal to a diamond. So too, the human soul, depending on how well we handle the pressure, depending on what kind of pressure is allowed in. When we stop moving away from what causes discomfort, turn around and face it, that creates energy. And that energy gets you up to the next plateau. When I was a teenager, I was walking home in the dark one night by myself after a really weird evening where my friend injected herself with heroin for the first time with her new boyfriend. She almost died. When she came to, she was in a very smug mood after giving me the fright of my life. Then she started kind of being a bitch. And so I decided to go home. I was walking home and this man was following me. And it was really scary. I was down in an industrial part of the city because that's where I lived. And he had been following me for a while and I could hear him like messing with his belt buckle. And I knew that like the hour was upon me and I had to do something. So I turned around and I started shouting, I think the name of my roommate who was far, far away, but you know, I couldn't think of what else to shout. And I started walking towards this guy and it gave him such a fright that he took off running. I walked straight towards the monster. I am not recommending any of that. Not walking home alone as a teenager or anything, but like, I mean, this is just the way my life was. I'm just saying when you turn around and face something, energy is created, something new is created. Tapas, the fire of transformation, also connects us to our bodies. Like, what are our limitations? I think that every decision we make should be run through our bodies, not just like a gut check, but like a full MRI, a full appraisal. In my opinion, you can't go wrong if you decide on something with your body and your mind. Coming back around to the real fires of life, the LA fires, it's been 100 days, 100 nights, and, you know, we look back on things and try to make sense of it all. I needed to change. I knew that I needed to change for a couple of years, but times had been so weird. COVID, politics, everything was just so insane. I really wasn't able to see the wood for the trees, as it were. Oh my God, the awful metaphor is just pouring out of me today, I know, but it's just so true. I don't think the fires were in any way connected to my wrestling with self. Of course not. But they did come along and chase me out. Once the Eden fire was done, there was no wood or trees. I could see that things had transformed without my permission, without my input. Fire will come. Earthquakes too, all of it. And looking back, I think the lesson or one of them that I can fashion is if you can't find the spark to transform, then you're in the wrong place. Depression, sadness, they are a map. The body tells a story with mood. And that's what I mean about connecting to the physical body. It's really hard to stay in the pain, but it is the only game in town. Tapas is about upping our commitment to self and then forging that self-love in the fire. Okay, lovers, that's it for this episode. This was a weird one. I'm not sure how practical these, did I even give any tips? I don't know. Lots of just sort of like meandering thoughts on this topic. I knew it would be like that. I'll be back in a week or so with our next Niyama Svadhyaya self-study. We have two more to go. And I'm taking some time off of the free feed to get ready for the next season, which, surprise, surprise, is going to be a spiritual skip through the work of David Lynch, focusing on Twin Peaks. It's going to be called Between Two Worlds. So if you haven't subscribed here in your podcast app, do it now. I'll still be doing the bonus episodes on Patreon during that time, so go join up. Patreon.com/thisbodypodcast. Oh, so many places to ruminate. See you soon.